It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, 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 closet dwellers and closet busters. It is time once again for another episode of the Coming Out Lounge. I am Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach, that coach that helps you make those big, bold moves in life. And it is really important at times to know how to network and to find those people that are really your crowd that can help you get through those things you're going to do in life. So before you go knocking on any of those closet doors, I'm going to really encourage you to think about networking and finding those people that really get what you're doing, what your journey's all about, finding that inner circle that can help you as you go after your desires, your outcomes that you wish to experience in your life. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's always around coming out of the closet as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender, but it also can be finding someone who's been through a similar experience and really networking. And then once you've mastered this, you're going to find you can actually network to do many, many, many things in life because you've got your circle, you've got your peeps, you've got the ones who really get you, and you'll find that they can truly help you do anything. So why am I talking about this today? Because I think it's important that we find our crowd. And to help us really understand how to find our crowd, I'm bringing a really good friend of mine in. His name is Mark E. Sackett. No, not Marky. It's Mark E. Sackett. He's a networking guru. He's a guy with a big, beautiful heart. He does really amazing things in the world. And I thought, you know what? If I'm ever going to talk about networking and helping you find your circle, Mark's the guy to do it. So coming to us live from his hotel room somewhere here on the planet. He is talking to us via phone because we had some technical difficulties. Here's my buddy, Mark E. Sackett. Welcome to the show, man.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
You bet, man. So Mark and I met probably, what, 4 years ago at this point, 3 years ago, somewhere along that line.
Three or four, I would think.
Yeah, and Mark hosts these really cool networking events called The Art of Active Networking, and I was really drawn to it because it's different than anything I've ever gone to as far as networking. Most people hate these networking events, and I was one of those skeptics, and I showed up, and Mark's networking events kind of changed everything. So why don't you talk to people about what you do at these events, Mark, and why you started them?
Well, I started them, I'm approaching 10 years ago. I can't even believe that I'm saying that.
But, wow.
I started them in San Francisco about 10 years ago, and it was mostly because I detest networking events.
Mm-hmm.
And much like you, you know, you and I are out there in the world, and we go to a lot of these kinds of things, and, you know, people walk up to you, and the first question they ask you is, what do you do for a living? And I hate that. You know, and with me, I own a number of companies, I do a number of things, so even if I answer the question, it kind of sounds like a load of, you know, crap, because by the time I tell people what I do, their head spins off, and then they don't even know what to do with me.
Right.
So, but I believe that, and this is an important thing, I believe it to be a sorting question, a labeling question, that we have habitually come to rely on because we either don't want to engage with people, we don't know how to talk to people, or mm-hmm. we feel like that all we need to do is sell to people. And for some reason, we show up at networking events when we've got crap to sell.
Yep.
So I started them because I don't like that conversation. I wanted to see if I could change the paradigm around what we call networking, and see if I could have a more powerful conversation that would ask one question, which is, how can I help you do better right now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, that's been one of the key elements that, you know, up until just recently, I'd been able to be going to Mark's events on a pretty regular basis. But one of the things that kept drawing me is, this was not just a business conversation. And I know some of you are listening to this going, what does this have to do with coming out? Well, stay tuned. Just hang on. We're going to get there because it's about really, truly connecting with people. Right, Mark?
Well, connecting with them, being authentic, being giving.
Mm-hmm.
Stop kind of, in some ways, stop leading with your agenda and worry about what everybody else in the room is struggling with. Because in that struggle, you're going to find that you have a lot more common ground with people. You know, I maintain that the one thing that you, me, and every one of your listeners, most of whom I don't know probably, all have one thing in common, and the universal truth is that we all struggle with something.
Yep.
There's not a single person listening to this that isn't struggling with something. Sexuality, weight, relationship, money, job, career, I mean, the myriad of things that go on in our lives. And so if we can find that common ground of struggle and recognize that, wow, oh, he's going through that too, she's going through that too, we've all kind of gone through these things at various points in our life, then what if we all work together to start helping each other with that struggle instead of sorting people neatly into, oh, you're gay, oh, you're fat, oh, you're unemployed, oh, you are employed, oh, you're married, oh, you're straight, whatever it is, just get rid of all the labels and just say, what are you struggling with? We're both humans. Let me help.
Right.
And then I have a concept that, or a practice, I guess I would call it, called My Give For, that you know well,
yep,
and that you practice well, which is I ask everybody I meet, will you give 4 hours out of every week? Sounds like a lot of time, but it's not. 4 hours out of every week to help others do better using four principles of giving, which is give of your ideas and your talent freely,
mm-hmm,
give of your time, volunteer,
yep,
give up your money, drop a quarter in somebody's hat, help somebody with a little tiny bit of money, donate to a crowdfunding campaign, whatever it is,
yep,
and then give up your network referrals.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is very important because everybody listening knows people. And I believe that the way we ultimately do business together, you, me, anybody, and it doesn't have to do business together, move forward in relationship, whatever it is by building what I call know, like, and trust relationships. And if I know you, I can learn to like you and or trust you. If I don't know you, those two things, they don't matter. But if I know you and I like you, and you do something untrustworthy, I don't know that we're going to move forward. If I know you and I trust you, but I just don't like you as a person for whatever my own set of labels are, then we also probably don't move forward. And I think that I would challenge everybody listening to say, if you thought about the people that you end up kind of metaphorically getting in bed with, moving forward with in your life, building some kind of relationship, friendship, relationship, work relationship, career, otherwise,
mm-hmm,
then if you know, like, and trust those people, you're going to be a lot more successful in everything that you attempt.
Well, and I think the piece where this all, I mean, there's so many connection points to the whole coming out journey that one of the biggest pieces is if you know, like, and trust somebody, you're going to feel so much more comfortable being around people of your own, like, mind and type, and then suddenly you don't feel isolated in the world. You don't feel like this is my experience and my experience only. And then two, you're my give for. What I love about it is when you give of your time, when you give of your knowledge, when you, you know, however you do this, as you're coming through the closet doors, so those of you that are thinking about coming out, you're going to go through those closet doors. At some point in time, someone is going to lean into you too and go, so tell me how you did this. What would you recommend? How could I be more loving of myself? How can I be more understanding of somebody who doesn't accept me? These are all the building blocks that I know it sounds really crazy that we're talking about creating a network, but the more you create the network, the more knowledge you get, the more capability you will have to give back when the time comes for somebody who's really in your shoes currently that's going to want you to help them. And I think this is the big, powerful piece of what Mark has created is these networks aren't just about business, business, business. It's about literally learning to lean into one another and go, you're human, I'm human, how can I help you? Plain and simple.
Well, and I think that, you know, the important thing I want to say about this is as you know me, I'm always talking about sort of these labels that we stick on each other. I mean,
yep,
I've had gay, straight, bi stuck on me. I've had fat. I've had aggressive. I've had positive. I've had intimidating. I get intimidating all the time because I weigh 300 pounds, I'm 6'3", and I have a big mouth. And one of my responses to that is always, am I intimidating you or are you intimidated by me?
Yep.
And so what happens is I think we tend to label ourselves a lot and we tend to label others, and that sorting process begins. So when if you're coming out, let's just say, I don't necessarily always agree that hanging around other people that have come out is going to be the healthiest thing for you. Because
mm-hmm,
some have had really bad experience and aren't good at it.
Yep.
But finding common ground is what you really want to think about. You
right.
know, for me, I'm always drawn, and one of the reasons I was drawn to you initially is that as this sort of just innate kindness in you, you know, and also this sense of creativity. You know, I've known you for a few years now, and I've watched you on your roller coaster, as we all are, of life.
Yep.
And it's ups and downs and turns and twists and everything else. And being able to know, like, I guess I would say this, and I don't know that I've ever said this to you, but I would consider you a closer friend now, and I would consider you somebody I would call
yep.
if I was really struggling with something,
mm-hmm.
because you have a wealth of experience. We have some common ground. We both certainly practice, you know, my give for. and I trust your advice at this point. So all those things that I just talked about that we've said so far on the podcast are there. We have no like and trust. We have some common ground. We're not really big into sorting and labeling,
no.
You know, and so I feel, I think what it is for me is that, you know, whether you're gay, straight, bi, transgender, I don't really care about all that. If you're mean, that's another
right.
label, that's not going to work for me. But I think that the key to building a powerful network is to build a know, like, and trust, try to find the common ground, and to mostly feel safe and confident in moving forward in that relationship, whatever the relationship is.
Yeah. So you and I have both been around the block quite a few years. We're pretty close to the same age. And one of my questions is always, how do we unlabel? How do we get past this labeling mentality? What's your take on that?
Well, you know, it's funny. I think we're all guilty of it also. You know, I mean, I'll see somebody, you know, I think we have behavior, we have the way people dress, we have all these kinds of, and I think that for me, we're just well-trained in that crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, he's fat. Oh, he's flamboyant. Oh, he's loud. Oh, he's confident. Or she, or I don't mean to always say he, I apologize, but I guess I was referring to you and I in
yep.
this. And I think there's just this deep-rooted, really badly conditioned behavior in us that we learn from the early age. I mean, we learn it on the playgrounds, you
right.
know, and we learn it from our parents, and we learn it from our mentors. We learn it from the people that aren't necessarily ill-intended, and
mm-hmm.
I think that's an important thing to mention
yep.
because I don't think many or most of our parents said, you know, hey, I'm really out there to screw this kid up, you know. But you have to think of also that kids, especially kids, are highly absorbent sponges.
Yes.
And we mirror behavior. And so I think it's just become so ingrained in us. And I think you have to make a very conscious decision. You know, we do it with handicapped people all the time, mentally and
mm-hmm.
physically handicapped. And if you don't mind, I'll tell you a quick story of, you know, people say about me all the time, I've never met a stranger, you know, so I'll
right.
talk to anybody anywhere. Well, you know, 40 years ago, I was paying, you know, 30 years ago, whatever, I was paying my way through college, and I worked at a framing store, and this just happened to me yesterday, so that's why I'm mentioning it. I had a client who was deaf, and it really bothered me that I couldn't speak to her on her level, at her language.
Mm-hmm.
And so I secretly, for 9 months, went and took an ASL sign language class.
Mm-hmm.
And one day she came in with a bunch of stuff to frame in this picture framing store I was working in, and I started signing everything to her. She just broke down in tears. She couldn't believe that I would. And she goes, I don't understand. And she was like signing back to me and kind of trying to write a note and was confused. And she said, how is it? I've known you for almost a year, and we've always written notes. How are you able to do this? And I said, well, I've been secretly taking this class. I wanted to surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so grateful for this. Well, anyway, fast forward now to yesterday. I'm in Orange County. I'm getting ready to do my event, and I'm sitting at a Starbucks. And this woman and, I'm assuming, her daughter come in. The daughter's in a motorized wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed, they're kind of right next to me, and I noticed they're signing to each other. And I was kind of just quiet, and I was kind of like watching because I was trying to understand the signing because it didn't make sense to me. And I asked the mother at one point, I said, I'm sorry. I said, I years ago knew some ASL, and I've been kind of watching. I'm sort of eavesdropping, I guess. And I said, but I don't understand some of what she's doing. She goes, oh, she's speaking BSL. I said, what's BSL? And she said, British Sign Language. And I'm like, I didn't even know there was such a thing. So anyway, so then the daughter started fingerspelling for me, and I still didn't understand some things, where the mother then explained that in ASL, you have fingerspelling for the vowels, for all the letters of the alphabet.
Right.
But in BSL, your five fingers on one hand are your vowels, A, E, I, O, U.
Mm.
So you point to the finger if you're at a vowel. It's a really curious shift.
Interesting.
Anyway, and so the daughter was just, she couldn't speak, and I think she had maybe possibly some mentally, you know, challenged in some ways as well as deaf. And but she just had this seriously shit-eating grin from ear to ear that I was trying to communicate with her. And so she carefully went through and spelled the alphabet for me in ASL, then showed me the difference in BSL, and then that was it. It was kind of profound, but
right.
for most people would have been a fairly benign moment. But I made this very important connection based in this commonality, which is kind of what we were talking about a few minutes ago, which is find the common ground, trust the common ground, and let people feel safe in that. It was just the coolest moment because as they were leaving, they got their mom went and got the coffee, and she was just smiling at me and was just so happy that I made this effort. And as she was leaving, she stopped her chair and she turned to me and She signed on her chin, she signed thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And she just had this, like, still this is ear-to-ear grin. And, like, I'll probably never see her again, but we made this amazing connection. And I believe that, again, we all struggle with whatever it is we struggle with, but what if we just take the time and be kind to people and giving to people and help people and understand that whatever shit you're going through, somebody else went through it yesterday or a week ago or 10 years ago, or they've been struggling with it their whole life.
Yeah.
And instead of being these hunters and gatherers that we're well-trained to do, we just start giving to each other and helping each other to do just a little bit better each day.
Well, I believe that the giving piece is, it's at the crux. It's how we start to understand. It's how we start to connect. It's how we start to learn to be kind and to love. And there's a lot of conversations going on out there in the world around this right now. But what you just demonstrated is that bottom line connection piece, whether we want to call it networking or connecting, when you can connect. And I love that you said, you know, that you wouldn't necessarily recommend somebody who's coming out, go find somebody that's coming out, because some people are going to have the wrong connection and then it's going to taint your experience. But when you have an experience like you had yesterday, where here's the commonality, that may be the only commonality that you had with those women, but I'm sure there's many things more besides the sign languaging, but find the connection point that works for you. Take what you can take from that to help you in your journey and what you can contribute to help someone else in their journey. It doesn't mean you have to go, now let's hang out because we all are gay and we've all had a coming out experience. There's going to be different things that happen. And each, you know, clients come to me all the time and say, so tell me how to do this. Well, I'd love to tell you how to do this, but the way I did it may not work for you. What I can do is listen to you, understand your values, understand what's important to you, and then help you stay focused on those things. That's what's the important connection. The commonality is, yes, I came out of the closet. The commonality is, yes, I've been through the path. The commonality for many of my clients is, yes, I was married just like they were. Yes, I have children. And yes, I happen to be gay or bi, you know, whatever people identify with me as. But then from there, it's kind of like, okay, let's see how we do the tango together from here on out, because I want you to do this in the way that's most comfortable with you, which I believe is actually the way that you approach this in your networking environments. You give everybody the opportunity to say, this is who I am, this is what I do, because that's what we need to know. Where people start to open up is, tell me what you need and how can I help you? That's the big difference.
Have you watched these events where, you know, I mean, well, if you don't mind, I'm going to give you an example.
Yep.
You have not necessarily, you've met people who've been on your podcast through my events.
Yep.
But you have not necessarily gotten business per se.
Right.
Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say. A couple of clients,
okay.
Yes, but yeah.
And yet you show up and you keep coming and you're meeting amazing people.
Yep.
So this whole thing of, you know, if I'm fat, I'm going to the Weight Watchers group. If I'm gay, I'm going to the gay coming out group or whatever. And I don't know that there's necessarily safety in that all the time. It's more, again, I'll go back to, it's about finding that common ground. And, you know, one of the things I always say at my events is that if you're sorting based on these labels and you're doing, you know, a quick sort because you're at a networking event, and you're there to meet a lot of people, and presumably you're probably there to do business and to get something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You don't go into networking events with the paradigm of I'm going to give something.
Right.
And I don't mean give away your free whatever you're giving away. I'm talking about helping others. That's not the paradigm of networking, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody were to walk up to me, okay, and they say, well, and they start putting those labels on me, oh, he's a big guy, he's overweight, he's older, he's 59 years old, blah, 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 and I wonder if he's gay, I wonder if he's straight, I wonder if he's bi, you know, and they're trying to find, use their sorting methodology for this.
Yep.
Then they're going to walk away, and this is going to sound arrogant, I don't mean it to sound arrogant, but they're going to walk away from a freaking awesome guy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they don't like fat people, or they don't like people who are outspoken, or they don't like people who that they can't sell something to,
yep.
That first mistake they make is they not only did they walk away from a nice guy, but they walked away from everybody that I know
mm-hmm.
who could probably help them.
Yep.
You know, and I think that what happens is, you know, we tend to find these people, I mean, it's how we gravitate to everybody when we're not thinking about professional networking in terms of business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think of your circle of friends. Your circle of friends, you have commonality with them. Now, are they all gay? No, of course they're not.
No.
Are they all divorced? Of course they're not. Are they all married? Are they all employed even? No. there's a myriad of people in your life that have a wide variety of backgrounds. You know, so when people start applying the labels to me, then I just kind of try to do my best to shift the conversation back to, well, what is it that you need and how might I help you with that, so that they can feel safe in the conversation and in moving forward, so that they know that I'm there for a different reason. And it catches a lot of people off guard because they don't think when they first meet me that it's possible for me to be authentic when I say that, because I meet, what, 300 people a week?
Right.
But I am. And I've tried to create this platform and this paradigm. And many people, you know, I don't know, 40% of everybody that comes to one of my events, I never see again.
Yep.
60% repeat at some point, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because something hit, something resonated with them. But the stuff that I talk about and the stuff that we're talking about here today, whether you see me ever again in your life, you can use what I'm talking about
mm-hmm.
to make a shift in your life at everything you do,
mm-hmm.
every event you walk into, every networking event you attend, every meeting you go into, every relationship that happens, every encounter that happens. But you have to make that shift for yourself first. And I think that it makes the coming out conversation easier, because you're not coming from such a desperate place of need and want.
Mm-hmm.
You're just coming from being authentically who you are, being a giving person, being a kind person, and that's going to attract an entire circle of people around you, a network, as it were, of awesome people.
And I think the giving piece is so powerful. You know, I've never really talked about this, but when I first started my coaching practice, you know, I was gung-ho. I was getting a lot of cool people coming to do the work with me. And then as most people, as they grow their business, they're like, okay, well, how else can I continue to grow this? So I started reaching out and finding places to potentially go. And then I realized what I was doing was putting myself in situations where when I walked in the door, it's like, what can I get from this?
Yeah. Well,
and
I got growth mode.
Yeah. And I was getting nothing, because it was all about, what can I get from this? How can I make money from this? And then the moment I started going, just show up, just be there. And even this podcast is a perfect example of just be here. I know there's anywhere between 5,000 to 10,000 people who download this every month. Yes, would I love to be able to work with all those people? Sure. But I know I'm already working with all those people. Just this method of reaching out and giving somebody this stuff is a form of working with people.
And you're also giving them a safe place to
exactly
engage in thought, or engage
yep.
in conversation, or engage in their own inner journey that might lead them to make the decision to become more authentically who they are, or to be more honest with who they are,
mm-hmm.
and to do, you know, we have a variety, people have a variety of reasons for why they're closeted.
Yes.
They have a variety of fears, they have a variety of judgments. I mean, we have our political system right now doesn't make it a safe place for people to
mm-hmm.
be gay.
Yep.
Or transgender, certainly.
Sure.
And
yeah.
So, but people have their own reasons. And, you know, when I hear a lot, I hear about, like, oh, so-and-so outed somebody. And I'm just like, you know, what a bunch of crap. I'm like, that's their journey. That's not your journey. That's not something that you have a right to impact. I'd
yep.
never have believed that.
Yeah.
But you do have the right to let them feel safe in having the conversation
mm-hmm.
with you.
Well, and I get in these discussions all the time with my fellow podcasters, and it depends on your podcast. But at the core of it, I think my approach is pretty much what I consider the right approach. People say, well, how do you monetize this? And I said, you know, I monetize this by, when people are ready to do the work with me, they show up. That's how I monetize it. I'm not the guy who's going to sell a course. I'm not the guy who's going to be, you know, on this podcast as Mark and I wrap it up. Now make sure you go do this. Da, 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 da. That's not necessarily how I show up. Yes, there's a few of the little outdoors that talk about my courses and stuff that are there, but I'm not shoving this down people's throat. What I'm here is, here's what you're hearing. This is what you get. Here's the stories. Here's some advice we get. And hey, you guys all know I'm a coach. You've got the website. You go to the Coming Out Lounge. You can see the coaching offerings. If this fits for you, great. If it doesn't, keep listening. You're going to keep learning more and more and more, because to me, this is about giving back, finding a medium, because I know when I was going through this, these mediums weren't as prevalent. There was nowhere to go. And even today, there's still a lot of places for a lot of people that they don't have someplace to go to have these conversations, which is a direct reflection of how you do your networking. There's not a lot of networking places where you walk in. And I can tell you this, those of you that are listening, I have sat in some of Mark's events where I've seen people literally, when it came their turn to share about what's going on for them and what do they need most, I have seen people literally break down in tears and go, right now what I need most is just somebody to listen to me. I'm going through a divorce, or my business is sucking and I don't know what to do, or I just had a really shitty day because I lost a family member. I still remember one of our good fellow attendees when she shared that her dad had died and she was having a really hard time with that because he was a shitty dad and she didn't know how to feel. These are the real moments where we connect and we become one and we go, okay, so this isn't about business. But to your point, Mark, first, I've met really good people because I found my network where I can tune in. I've got long-lasting friendships. I have gotten some business from this, whether it was paying business or trade-out business. My very first event that I went to with Mark, or no, second one, I met a young guy, Blake Jameson, who we became friends. He did my social media. I became his coach. Yeah. And it's long-lasting friendship that's still alive and well today. So I'm sharing this with the listeners.
You need to tell him to call me. I haven't talked to him in a long time.
I will. He's back up in the Bay Area, actually, which is, he's doing great. Doing
all the more reason.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm sharing this.
I want to say something because you and I have privately talked about this before. And, you know, like Monday night, I was in Pasadena, and this guy, kind of broken English, Hispanic, cool guy. He repairs cars. I'm like, not a likely guy you would see come to a networking event. And he was reading how I speak about it. And he said, this just sounds different. I want to go. And he came, and he's one of those guys. He broke down in tears when he started to talk. He was very nervous. He was kind of rocking back and forth when he got to be his turn. And one of my regulars was sitting next to him. He just put his arm around him. And he's like, it's okay. Go ahead. What's going on? And he goes, I want to be rich. And, you know, I try to facilitate this also. And I said, why is that important to you?
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, people who come to networking events, I think everybody wants to be rich. And I think that a lot of times there's a very selfish reason. And he goes, I'm with this woman and I love her to death and I don't want her to ever have to work. I just want to make enough money that she can have anything she wants because I love her so much. And he just broke into tears. And everybody was just stunned because, like, this is the last thing you expect to come out of this guy's mouth because of our preconditioning and our labels and our, oh, I don't know who this guy, why is he here? He's an auto, I don't need that. And it was just the coolest moment. And he stayed till the very end, and he said, and he came over and he just shook my hand and he thanked me. And he's like, I really appreciate that. And so it's like, we don't know people's stories. And you and I have talked a few times about how much I have disdain for labels.
Yep.
And I grew up in, you know, I grew up in Kansas City. I grew up in, you know, Lily White suburb of Kansas City. I graduated from a school that had 600 seniors in it. And I think we had a couple of Hispanic kids and a couple of Chinese kids. I mean, maybe two or three African-American kids. I mean, it was just all pretty much white.
Yep.
My uncle was gay growing up. My brother is gay and out. And I have been bisexual, you know, for as long as I guess I've been sexual.
Mm-hmm.
But I never have really thought about it. I met somebody. I fell in love. I got married, a woman.
Yep.
And we were married for 20 years. We were together 38 as business partners. She died a year and a half ago, as you know.
Yep.
And I've never, you know, like I was always not, I wasn't hiding, but I was always very careful to not, I just didn't discuss my sexuality. And it wasn't that I was hiding something. I certainly wasn't going behind her back in our marriage and being with guys or any cheating or any of that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I will tell you, I've done a lot of work on myself since she passed away a year and a half ago.
Yep.
And one of the things for me is, because, you know, in meeting you and talking to you, and it wasn't even, it's like I said, when I define myself, if I wrote down 50 things that I am, bisexual is way at the bottom of the list. I'm creative, I'm happy, I'm curious. I mean, there's so many things I am in my life that are descriptors. But I thought a lot about why did I never really talk about it? And one of the reasons I never really talked about it is that I never wanted Gretchen, because we got divorced in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
I never wanted Gretchen to think that the reason that we got divorced was because I wanted to be with somebody else or because of my sexuality, because it had nothing to do with it. And it was really important for me to come to that answer for myself, because I've never felt like I was hiding anything. It's just never been important to me.
Right.
But I started thinking a lot more about it in the last year and a half since she passed away, and I thought, you know, I did feel, I never wanted her to go, that's why our marriage ended, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't think she would have thought that. I mean, I don't think she would have ever, she and I had a wonderful, despite that we weren't married anymore. We were just very different people, and I'm very outgoing, and she was very much of an introvert, and we had a lot of other, you know, that kind of stuff. But yep. It was never the typical things you hear about, like, oh, he cheated on her, she cheated on him, somebody else came into the relationship. It wasn't any of that. Till the day she died, we owned all of our companies together and worked together every day. Mm-hmm. And we had a really good, I think, a really good relationship. And really, more importantly, a really good friendship. And so when I hear, when I see this guy come into the event on Monday night, or I see some of the people that you and I have been in the room at the same time, when they've revealed whatever it is about themselves, I just got laid off. I mean, various things that happened to us, you know. And I see what's very different about these events that I do is that there's this room full of empathy and love and caring, yet it's largely, most of the time, a room full of strangers.
Yep.
And I think that's just extraordinary because people are getting what I talk about. They're taking the labels off and they're stopping. I don't care if you're gay or straight or fat or tall or short or mm-hmm. unemployed or employed or handicapped or any of the kinds of things that we typically use as the labels. I just think, like, you're a human and you seem cool to me, and well, let's go have a glass of wine, you know?
Yeah.
And then if we do business down the road, it's because no like and trust is there. And that's it. I don't get business from, good Lord, I'd be rich if I got business from my events.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Exactly.
And I largely don't talk about what I do with people.
Yeah.
You know, because it's difficult. It's not difficult. It's a complex conversation. I choose, and I think when you say, how do people do this? It's like, I choose to start in a different place in my life.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've ever shared this with you, but I know you know that I went a year ago, 2 years, I guess it's almost been 2 years ago that I went and spoke at an event back east and then went right and did a men's retreat in Bermuda right after that.
Right.
And so I was one of the very, I was kind of a kickoff facilitator for that event. And one of the first things I did is I actually took your process and tweaked it slightly. And I had the guys actually answer those questions. Who are you? What do you do? And I also asked them to, and why are you here? What do you need most? But I added one other question. And because it was all men, so everybody envisioned all men on an island. No, it wasn't some weird kinky sex thing because it was gay men and straight men alike.
Well, it was in Bermuda.
Well, it was in Bermuda. It could have gone. I'm sure there was a little bit of hanky-panky somewhere in the group. But the last question, I think it was the third question I asked them was, how much does your sexuality matter to you this weekend? And it was a really interesting question because I was setting the tone for the weekend that we're a band of brothers and our sexuality really shouldn't have any effect on who we are. But I also knew that was going to bring up some shit for some of the people in the group, which it did, which was intentional. That was why I asked that question.
Yeah, of course.
So that we could start to level the playing field. And the amazing thing that happened, so that was day one. By midnight on day one, we were all still around a campfire doing a different exercise. I don't think we got done at the bonfire till almost 2 in the morning. By midday on day two, you would not know that anybody gave a shit about sexuality. Because we were just a bunch of guys going through an experience, figuring each other's stuff out, figuring ourselves out, and moving forward.
This concept of sexuality, I mean, it's a... For so many people, it's so high on their list, and it's so defines in many ways. I mean, I have friends that are, it's their number one thing. It's how they mm-hmm. define themselves first, and that's just always kind of been a little bit bewildering to me. But then what happens is when you say it in the context of, let's just say, gay, it somehow changes. It morphs. But if you were doing that same retreat in Bermuda, and it was a religious retreat with mixed faith.
Yep.
Okay. And you ask that same question,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get exactly the same answers and exactly the same result with their own little layers of guilt or whatever else they're hiding.
Yep.
But, you know, when you talk about, and this is one of the things I really love about you. I mean, when I met you, you were the coming out coach and you were helping gay men come out of the closet. That was what I was told, and that's what I believed, and that's what I think you even told me.
Yep.
However, what I so appreciate about you as a man, as a man who was married to a woman, who has children, who is a father, who is a gay man, who is a married man now, again, loving his partner.
Yep.
A, that you've been really blessed to be able to find that twice in your life or whatever, and because most people never find it once. But also that you have morphed to understand that much like I believe that everybody struggles with something, and what if we just help each other, that you believe that everybody has something that they're in some kind of a proverbial closet.
Yep.
Okay? And, I mean, I'm in my proverbial weight closet, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been over 300 pounds for 30 years. I have major heart issue that I've now got solved. However, I'm so fearful now, even though every doctor has told me, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so fearful now to go to the gym. And I will absolutely here confess in front of everybody right now that I oftentimes sabotage myself.
Mm.
You know? I don't know why I do it. I consider myself a happy person, I guess. I don't know why I sabotage myself. And I was talking to somebody last week who's very, very overweight. But about 5 years ago, she lost like 175 pounds. She was like just, you know, by the labels that we put on people, she was hot. She was gorgeous. She was sexy. She was all those labels that we throw around and love to use so often. And she slowly started gaining the weight back. And I was like, so, I said, do you mind me asking? Because I kind of struggle with my weight. And as soon as I say the word struggle, it means that that's a negative, right?
Yeah.
I'm struggling. I'm in my struggle with weight. Although every day I get up and I don't say, oh, I'm struggling with my weight. I have other health issues I struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
But weight is just maybe the result of all that. So I said to her, do you mind me asking? I remember when you lost all that weight, and I noticed that you slowly gained it back. And she said, I have to be honest with you. She goes, and I appreciate you asking me this because nobody has ever asked me this before. She goes, I've been judged a lot. And she goes, I know how you are about that stuff. And she goes, but nobody's ever asked me why I gained the weight back. And people are like, oh, she must have a medical condition. Then again, well, all the labels start.
Right.
She said, I'm comfortable at this weight because I believe it's authentically who I am. And she goes, it was a protective measure for me. When I lost all this weight, all these guys were hitting on me, and I was very uncomfortable in that situation, and I don't see myself that way. Now, psychologists are going to argue that there's all kinds of shit going on here, right?
Right, right.
However, I like that she said, this is who I am, this is where I live, this is works for me, and I'm a happy person. And she's in an awesome relationship now with this guy, and they've got just the best relationship, but she's, you know, and she recognizes, like anybody, that maybe that much weight isn't the healthiest thing for her. You know, but she also says, this is who I am. This is how I know myself. And I think what's so important about that, because that was her coming out, right? Her coming out, understanding who she really is and being okay with that. Because, I mean, good Lord, we could, you know, I'm sure we could do another 5 podcasts on self-loathing. You know?
But, exactly.
And, you know, I mean, I've self-loathed for years. And, I mean, you know, one of the things is, and people are like, oh, my God, Mark, you're so critical of things. Like, I'm critical of our president. I'm critical of our political situation. I'm critical of our people tearing up our environment. I'm critical of things. But I also have a voice, and I have a mouth, and I try to use it for the most good that I can.
Right.
Right? But, you know, I get so tired of the people who don't speak up and don't speak out and aren't authentically who they are and don't have, they live in this sort of fear, and instead of dealing with their own fears and their own inadequacies, they lash out and use that as judgment against others and labels against others and sorting methodologies. And it's all, I think a lot of people, if they would just become more authentically who they are, more truthful with who they are, but not only would they gather really awesome people around them, but they would also stop struggling so much.
And I think you just brought us to the perfect place to wind it up. That was probably the best advice you could have given, because I was about to ask you, well, what would you say? And I think you just said it. I so love you, brother. I so appreciate you taking time
to be a
part of this and to share your wisdom and your truth and so much of yourself, because you're right. When we are authentically who we are, there's no room for anything else. It's just
thanks for having me on. And if anybody ever wants to come to check this out, you can go to theartofactivenetworking.com and read about it.
Yep.
Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's not for you, but show up with your gifts. That's all I care about.
Yeah. And we're going to have links to everything that connects you to Mark on the show page. And I highly encourage you, if you're in one of the cities, San Francisco, San Jose, Orange County, Los Angeles, New York from time to time, Vancouver, even Kansas City every once in a while, you'll find all the different cities where Mark does this beautiful gathering, and you never know, you might just end up making a really good friend, if nothing else, out of attending. So thanks again, brother, for being here, and I so appreciate you, and you know that, and I just appreciate you having the heart that you do to give back the way you do. So thanks for being with us.
Well, I appreciate you, and we'll talk soon. We need to grab some lunch and do a catch-up, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, have a good day.
You too, man. So there you have it, Closet Dwellers and Closet Busters. Another episode of the Coming Out Lounge has just wrapped up. Thank you so much for listening. I so appreciate each and every one of you who tune in and take in these interviews and my riffs and rants and everything to help hopefully improve your life in some way, shape, or form as you're on your journey coming out to be your most truthful self. And, you know, one of the things that's really important to me is that this podcast gets shared over and over and over again to those who this may be their only way of finding some help and support to get them through these tougher parts of life. So if you could just do a rating and review, that would be super cool. Do it at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you're listening to us. Just give us a little rating review. And if you feel like sharing, just especially on iTunes, just hit that little share button and boom, you can share it with whoever you want in a message, an email, however you want to do it. Another thing you might want to do is also go to the Coming Out Lounge website. You'll see a little icon there that says Get Rick's Book, and you'll see my smiling, beautiful face, and give yourself the gift of reading the book. It's kind of humorous. Well, it's more than kind of humorous. It's kind of funny. Well, it's more than kind of funny. It is funny, but it's also really real about your journey coming in and out of the closet, and I would love to share that with you. So go ahead, take advantage of that, and grab a copy of my book. And until next time, we hope you just keep stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth. Take care, everyone, and have a good week.